Absolutely not.
Yes.
Yes, sorry.
Is that urgent?
Yes, it's your item 7A, suicide prevention, paper E.
So this report sets out review of the suicide prevention strategy in line in line with the national guidance. There is some recently published guidance for health and for food needs, which sets out the kind of priorities that we expect students to have to look at, and they're listed in the paper under a number of themes, which I think we are working well towards developing. I think we can all acknowledge that suicide prevention is a very challenging area of work due to the nature of suicide. So in the appendix, you have both the strategy, the action plan, and in terms of reference, and the strategy in the appendix where the student are signed off by the Health and Wellbeing Board, and in that, you can see there's a number of actions and themes in there. It's worth noting that on the Isle of Wight, we do not have a problem with suicide outside the national problem. We are in line with national levels of suicide. However, we are aware that every suicide is a tragedy that we would like to prevent, which is why we have a local plan. The plan sets out who's most at risk, which includes males, people experiencing mental and visual crises, people with social isolated, people with chronic health conditions, people with self-harm. There's a number of groups that we know, and there's a number of occupations. Due to the broad nature of suicide, it's actually quite a challenge to pin down the actions to make sure that they are feasible and actually will make a difference to suicide rates in Ireland, bearing in mind numbers are small. So to enable that to happen, rather than focusing particularly on the at-risk groups where the numbers will be individuals and tiny groups, we focused on themes. So the first one is about improving the knowledge and understanding of suicide risk. We can promote mental well-being, promoting key messages about mental well-being, and we can start working with the media, and we do the key. The second theme, you'll find these on page 6 of the appendix 1, is about upskilling people to deal with suicide, so people, if they are suddenly suicidal, we need to know how, in the community sense, how to deal with that. Not just about mental health services, because the majority of suicides take place in people who are not in contact with services. And we need to think about the zero approach. It's very appropriate for certain organisations to consider moving to a zero approach, and that would be NHS Trust in the main, who are mental health provider. Theme 3 is about post-mention supports and support after suicide. We know that if someone has experienced someone close to them who's taken their own life, they are more at risk from suicide and they have a number of impacts. We know that every suicide will, at a minimum, impact on 6 people. So we're developing training and we're developing an offer for post-vention, so post-suicide work in different settings, so schools, colleges and workplaces. And finally, we're really thinking about improving our data and our knowledge around suicide. So we do a suicide audit every year. That's to really understand who on the island is taking their life and why they're taking their life, so that our prevention plan can be nuanced and finessed to meet the needs of the island, because we don't want to just assume we're the same as everywhere else. So what have we achieved so far? We've introduced real-time surveillance, so we now work with the police. And every time there is a suicide, they will work with us to share that information so we can see if there's any contagion, so it's any spread of that, or which organisations and areas we need to work with if there is suicide. We're working with the media to ensure better reporting is improved and we need to maintain that. We've got some Samaritan signs up in appropriate places. You'll have heard in different parts of the scrutiny committee about improvements in mental health services, and that's key. For online training support. We're doing a really big piece of work around ACEs, so adverse childhood events. We know somebody experienced an adverse childhood event, it's more like suicide, taken off by suicide, so what can we do there? And then we're working with the coroner to further understand some of the risk factors identified by suicide. I'll stop there.
Thank you.
I have some real issues with the report and with the strategy. Firstly, I think there's a misleading, because it says here the strategy of solving for the health and well-being should actually say that there were two very clear objections and two votes against it, which was myself as representative of the voluntary sector and also all the parish and town councils through Ireland, who actually voted against that. Your actual report states, you actually take out the guidance from the 2000 October guidance of that. This committee took those guidance straight away and set up a task and finish group, right, which looked into, that was four of us, four councillors, along with Health Watch, and actually seriously looked at the issue of suicide and presented that report. And when it was at the Health and Wellbeing Board, most people there had not received that report or read that report. And can I finish, then you can answer me back. So in a sense, it's patronising in this report to report that back to us, because we immediately, that guidance came through, and from rulings from the Public Health from the Health Scrutiny Committee in Parliament, Select Committee, said that we should be scrutinising. And we were very critical at that time. And the criticisms have not been taken into consideration. I will hone in on one particular area. We have known for 5 years on the island, through suicide and through the suicide steering, etc., that men was the biggest issue. You say in your strategy, you confirm that. You did say that 8 out of 10 suicides are men, and particularly older men. We recognise that. In our report, we clearly highlighted that we need to do interventions for that age group. And we pointed out Men in Sheds as an emerging project that was actually tackling that. I was at an event last week, which was the Men in Sheds Fest, which had all the men in sheds, the 15 on the island, and most of them from Hampshire. And I spoke to the Hampshire Men in Sheds and that. And they said the same as the other white sheds. No one in public health had ever talked to them. No one in public health had ever come to them and actually talked about them. When they try to get help to transfer people, and they have a huge amount of people that are referred to them by the NHS from crisis teams and everything, and there wasn't one health agency in that Sandown Airport at that fest, right? Within that, talking to those men. And those men have been in and out of mental health services in absolute despair over the years. And there was no communication. So there you have interventions, and there is no communication or communication with them. I'll stop there, but a lot of what you say is not fit for purpose and a load of rubbish, and we should have that in the press.
Thank you, Michael. Simon.
Thank you. I think what we need to think about with suicide is how to be collaborative and how to really tackle this problem. So you've raised a number of issues, and actually mentioned one initiative that will help engage with men in kind of social isolation and kind of working together and talking. It's not the only one, and I think I won't talk about Hampshire. There are a lot of work in Men in Sheds in Hampshire. This is about strategy, not about actually how we're going to go on the ground doing the work. We do need to understand how men who aren't in contact with services, who are then taking their life and then do something with. So as I said, the strategy highlights the group, which is four themes which are working to focus on those at-risk groups to tackle suicide across the island. So absolutely, that's what we're doing, and that's how we're doing it. So I understand your report, I read your report, and we reviewed that and put the relevant actions in here that we need to put in. You may be saying, I helped write the National Guidance, I'm very aware of it, and actually what we're doing here is to write a plan that meets the needs of the island in terms of suicide. Working with our own partners and agencies around the island, it isn't just about men's sheds, because actually they only meet one particular cohort that we need to tackle to reduce suicide.
Thanks,
Simon.
Michael.
I use that as one example. There is other example of young people. There's no communication or work with the Isle of Wight Youth Trust, which actually provides services in all the schools and is the leading actual contracted provider of giving counselling to young people and everything. They've never ever spoken to public health. There is no communication with the organisations that are on the face ground, that those people, I could have brought 10 people from Isle of Wight Trust and 10 people from Men in Sheds to actually talk about their stories, right? Your staff are not talking to the people and the families that are actually facing suicide on this island.
Thank you, Michael. This may well lead us on to item B. John.
Thank you, Chair. And I think Councillor Milley makes some important points, but I also think we need to be assured about A, what the suicide prevention strategy is trying to do, and therefore look across the whole picture, and therefore where it would have contact with various groups and at various times. So, you know, I think the action plan itself refers to working with member sheds and contact with the council, I think it refers to. So I think it would be helpful to try and take the work that Council leading through the task and finish group and then set that against the work that Simon's done in terms of reducing that strategy, which is similar to gaps are, because clearly the work of the task and finish group is advisory to the cabinet member, and the cabinet member will take a view about what we can take forward in terms of improving the strategy.
Thank you, John. I mean, Simon is only reviewing in the post, so he's got a lot of work to do to get our public health fit for purpose, I think, is I think we would all say. So let's go on to item B. Thank you for that. Those points, by the very well made. The strategic partnership, which is signed by you. Or John?
This paper was presented to Cabinet about the strategic partnership with public health. Hampshire to, on the back of the successful partnership, the Isle of Wight has had children's services. We were Hampshire County Council approached them through a partnership to do the public health responsibilities on the island, and that's been agreed by the chief executive through the letter of communication, and now the base of the partnership will become permanent. Should I stop there, John? You're back. Thank you.
Chairman, really I'm sure that I think this was agreed by the Cabinet on Thursday evening. I think, as the paper sets out, there are some details still to be finalised through that to be signed up by the Cabinet and myself. Clearly, we have to bring those details back for scrutiny by the committee at the appropriate time. But I think what we're suggesting in the paper is we've had a very successful partnership for the last 18 months with Hampshire. They've helped us start to understand the requirements and needs of our public health service. They've been aware that perhaps we didn't really have a good offer before. They've identified some key priorities of work and actually taken some key pieces of work as well to make sure we have a safe service and a fit-for-purpose service, and they've identified further work that requires to be in the short term so that we are making the most of our public health opportunities. We're not there yet in terms of the work that we have to be done, that has to be done. But that will be set out in the next couple of years as we increase the work to respect the country. But hopefully, we'll find some questions that we've got to have.
Thank you. Anyone? No. John?
Only a very quick question, Chairman. Michael happened to mention the men in sheds. They're not really actually working. Says working together to prevent suicide. I'll be talking to these organisations, because Michael said they don't seem, I've spoken to many shares, I know that they've never been contacted, but maybe there are other organisations that they're working with to work together, because you can't work together unless you've got some people to work together with. Yeah. So I would like to know what organisations they're working together in the voluntary sector. Thank to improve you. The situation.
Thank you, John. This was actually the previous item, but I think Tom addressed that by saying that one of the items in the fall was working in collaboration with across various parts.
Absolutely, we do work with them, and we have a number of partnerships. We work with various people on the ground to do all sorts of different pieces of work with that suicide prevention. But that's working with education to think about physical activity, but that's working with the NHS and others. So we work with a number of agencies to deliver public health responsibilities.
Are you able to name one or two of the voluntary organisations that you're working together with?
I think the team would know much better than me in terms of actually on the ground. But I know in terms of education that they work very closely with all the schools across the island and thinking about that piece of work. The work done by Trust, thinking about the Health Visiting School Nursing Programme. We'll work with areas like libraries to think about how we train up staff to have health conversations. So a number of organisations like that.
Thank you, Simon. That's a very good answer. I think that as a scrutiny committee we were a little bit disappointed to be kept in the dark about this development. I think that we were about to shine the spotlight on public health now that we're less busy with concerns on other health partners. But I think from what you've said, John, that this is an agreement in principle.
I think it's an agreement subject to the details being finalised as was set out in the report. This proposal has been part of our plan and has also been part of our forward plan for some time. So the decision going forward to Cabinet in July was exactly the point of the plan, but clearly it came at a point where we felt that the interim relationship and partnership become as large as possibly could. There was a need from both partners to make a decision about how to go forward in the long term, so we can both plan for the long term. And of course, the matter for the delivery of the particular agreement can be, and I'm sure will be scrutinised by your committee as we go forward. So it's very much based on performance. But I think it's about now we need to move on and have amendments and get some certainty about that long term.
Thank you, John. Michael.
At corporate scrutiny, as Vice Chair, I raised my concerns there about the report. Per se, I don't necessarily at this stage object to having an arrangement with Hampshire. I do object, but I think this committee needs to to the actual report, because it doesn't provide the due diligence that we would expect in any kind of scrutiny process to actually provide the workings out, or the process of that this is the best option. The report only says the options and then it makes recommendations. And there hasn't, of the process. So I did put a set of questions, I think which you've got copies of, to a cabinet member, Councillor Claire Mostel, and she did reply to them. She did actually, she did promise me, with yourself, Chair, that she would read the questions out at cabinet. I don't think she did, but she did refer to them. And she did give, I think, some indication of the answers. I have now copies of those answers, and I'm waiting for and then I'll reply to my secondary questions. I am concerned that, for instance, when this arrangement happened with Hampshire did go to their cabinet on the 16th of April 2018 with a report. There is no evidence that there was ever a report to cabinet interim similar to Hampshire of ourselves. And it's interesting to look at the report that was actually by Hampshire on the 22nd of July. In regard to that, there's some certain things in that report which don't actually link necessarily on a report. For instance, Hampshire talks about full cost recovery of service from the Isle of Wight, whereas I haven't had answers to a value for money exercise at all. There's no risk analysis that's presented, need assessment, no breakdown of other options. So for instance, I did ask, have we gone to Southampton and Portsmouth? The answer was that wasn't considered. And again, no background information or information of that. I'm concerned about the governance of this post. We have a section 151 officer, which should do with finance, a statutory role. That is with Portsmouth. We share that post with Portsmouth. Right, that went through the appointments panel. When I asked, was this post going through our governance or our appointments panel, the answer that I got back from Colette, no, because it's different. It seems that this is the only post that we've got senior that's not going through proper a process through our appointments panel, where section 151 contract is actually given to the appointments panel. No. I won't go through all the anomalies, but I actually have 15 questions within that. And I don't think that there's been enough scrutiny or opportunity to within that. So I wish to propose to this committee that we actually recommend to corporate scrutiny that actually there is a calling for this cabinet decision, so there can be a specific meeting on that. And I'd like to remind this committee that nearly 2 years ago, we actually did vote that there needed to be a separate scrutiny meeting on public health, right? And we've never had that specific meeting. And I feel we need to have that scrutiny because this is an extremely important. We are putting our trust in Hampshire County Council to provide a service, and we need a statutory role. We have to have a public health director by law, from the government, and we need to adequately scrutinise it, and we can't. And I definitely have not had all the questions and answers on the opportunity
for that,
to
try
to do that.
John,
I would like a second.
Can we just get the John to respond to that?
Firstly, I've just checked the decision that was taken by Cabinet in July was that it's 4th of April, so clearly that notice of decision has been available since that time. And of course, it's down to yourself and members of the committee to help you structure your agenda and what you might want to see on the agenda, knowing what is coming ahead on the forward plan. In terms of the Council's point about the statutory appointment, the Council's constitution is clear. There are three appointments made by full Council. One is the Chief Executive Stroke Head of Excellence, one is the Monitoring Officer, and one is the Section 151 Officer. They're all done by recommendation from the Appointments Committee. Therefore, any of the Chief Officer post is either an appointment of the year by the Appointments Plan without reference to the full Council, or in the case of a public sector partnership, it's another way that we've set out in a particular paper that went to Cabinet last week. I understand Councillor Lee's points about that he makes. I think, firstly, I would say that the paper does say that we will contain the cost of the relationship with Hampshire within the existing budget for the Director of Public Health. That is in the order of about £132,000 a year. So our negotiations will be to maintain within that particular parameter. Hampshire are quite right, they've set out their position is that they wish to obviously get full cost recovery, then council taxpayers in Hampshire can't subsidise a Director of Public Health from down the right. But also Hampshire made very clear that they need the arrangement to be at no detriment to their own particular service in Hampshire. It's exactly the same conversation we've had with Portsmouth about the 6.5 million, so with Hampshire Fire Children's Services and with Hampshire Fire Rescue Authority about the arrangement we have with those particular organisations. So we're very clear about that. In relation to conversations we've had about how we could or could not do this, we've been in very close dialogue with Public Health England. Now, I appreciate that Councillor Lee would like to see that dialogue, but clearly a lot of that dialogue is taking place over the phone by conversations, but that has been confirmed by Public Health England in the letters they have responded to us that were in the cabinet paper. Public Health England do have a role in the appointment of Corporate Director of Public Health, so we have previously appointed the Director of Public Health. They were involved in that appointment, and they were involved with agreeing to the appointment. They have supported the approach that we are now taking, and they're supporting the position of the Hampshire Director of Public Health and to the people as well. They also gave confidence to me that in their view, they would not have been supportive of doing a role that joined Portsmouth and Southampton together. Instead, Portsmouth and Southampton do share a character of public health at the moment, so they have shared a much the same way as we described the shared grade we are now. So I think the conversations have been had along those lines. I think we've made significant impact. That may not be as visible to your committee because you have not had a meeting around public health, and certainly we'd welcome a meeting around public health to explain the journey that we've been on, but certainly Hampshire had a physical impact in terms of what we've done around the drugs and alcohol service, in terms of what we've done around the sexual health service, in terms of what we've done about the 2019 provision, where we were not making good progress until we had the involvement of Hampshire and the team from Hampshire to give us best possible advice in terms of how we needed to take forward our public health service. So they've given the cabinet member confidence in what they've done and what they've delivered, so that she feels she's comfortable now to be able to accept the recommendation and move forward in the partnership as described. But with the appropriate periods of review, of which screening committee will, of course, be able to be part of the review process through its normal review processes. So I would commend the paper to you, the partnership to you. I think it opens up an opportunity for us to really start to make some good ground in the development of our public health services, rather than to look backwards and think about how we construct some services with their housing and running. I think I would encourage the community to look forward in terms of what we can get out of this partnership and to make the most of it in the period that we have there.
John, thank you very much. I think we've got to be careful that we don't track the baby out of the bathwater here. I think we all recognise that public health needed something needed to be done with it, and we were going to put public health under the spotlight. This arrangement arose before we had the opportunity to do that. I think the lesson that has perhaps got to be learned here, we're in the same position as we were with the local area coordinators, and I think it's perhaps a fault of this council that we don't share that information on a proactive basis, because that the opposition to that certainly could have been avoided. We've had private meetings with Simon and Sally, and from those private meetings Simon has installed a great deal of confidence in his ability to answer questions very directly and robustly, and I personally like to welcome him as Director of Public Health for our public health services. So I think you've made a very good point, Michael. Let's hope that it's taken constructively and we don't fall into this pit again. But I don't feel that a call in myself would get us anywhere. I think we need to keep an eye and work with public health and make sure that it's performing. We have those figures that demonstrate that. But you proposed and we've had a second.
I totally hear what you're saying, Chair, and I totally hear what you're saying, John. I just feel I could spend another hour going through the questions. I mean, the question of was there proper consultation with other health partners? We're talking about integrated health service. I mean, and actually the answer, very honest answer about Claire Monson, was no. That she hadn't had any consultation with the other health departments. We at this meeting have been very critical, right? That there hasn't been good communication and consultation about decisions, right? Within that. And here we clearly have got the fact that there hasn't been that consultation with health departments. There's clearly also statutory questions like, you know, 2017-2018 published accounts. The report, that it has to be two published reports, statutory, every year. One is public health annual report, and the other is about complaints, and they have to be published. They are not on the website. Hampshire's are on their website, but ours for 2017-18 are not. So there is questions, I'm saying, that are unanswered. And we should have an opportunity to clear the air. The scrutiny calling can only make recommendation for recommendation. But I think that the Cabinet needs those recommendations after a detailed discussion that goes in depth. And the people of this island need to know we've gone through that due diligence. It isn't about actually throwing the baby out of the bathwater. It's actually making sure the baby is the baby we want, right? And it's got clean bathwater in it. So I do feel very strongly that we should make this recommendation. So,
welcome, Simon, and his colleague Kate, who have been joining us in some of our meetings at the CCG, which we did with lots of positive work for the Grand Population Health Management, understanding some of the data and the richness of the data that can then help us to shape our services on the island in a much better way of communication. So, the processes aside, the actual benefits of having Simon in and his team on the island are really starting to show positive.
Well, thank you for that. Carl, was it a quick question you wanted to ask? Can you?
Yes, thank you. I mean, this is an incredibly important issue for the health. It's a big bit of our council budget, and I'm extremely concerned that we've already got a shrinking department in public health. The local impact is really important. The local knowledge is really important. And we should really consider anything that Mr. Lilly has said about not giving that way too much. We have an award-winning sexual health clinic here on this island. Nurse-led, award-winning worldwide, nationally. And, we should not fall into the different public health strategies which exist on the mainland, which are led by, it's a doctor-led service there. We want to keep what's unique about our island, and that comes from internal local knowledge. And I'm aware that a number of public health staff have been made redundant. Are we going to see any redundancies as a result of this merger with Hampshire? And there's nothing wrong with working positively with Hampshire. That's a good and healthy thing. But to give away that local knowledge, which I believe we should keep.
Thank you for that. I think John's going to respond now.
Chair, I think it's two things I would say in response. So, firstly, we are undertaking a staff structure review of the public health team. That's not as a result of the relationship with Hampshire, that's as a result of the work that's been done over the last 18 months to make sure that public health services fit the purpose and that we know the people in the posts that we need to be able to deliver on that. We've had a model that's tried to take us down one particular route. It perhaps hasn't been the most effective, so we're now trying to create a model that is most effective and fit the purpose for future purposes. Council Lovers referred to the Woodbridge Social Health Service. I'm not sure of those particular awards. I'd have to go to pick that up. We'd have to go to Council Lovers and just confirm what that was and when that was, because as I said, I'm not excited on that particular one. I think in terms of the issue that Council Lovers promoted in terms of calling, I'm afraid I can't bring the best advice to you at the time, but actually, you have it on your agenda this evening. So, in a procedural process, the opportunity is tonight to go through that and make that scrutiny because it's all going to be on the agenda. So, I mean, I can't say whether it's called through our processes, whether the motion officer will allow further calling that to promote the types. So I think it's just appropriate for me to supply that up. But I suppose the point I would leave with is scrutiny of what we do going forward in terms of making a difference to improving public health outcomes and improving people's life is perhaps for me more important than looking backwards in terms of how we got to this particular point, because we can waste an awful lot of energy on that whilst we're actually trying to make a difference as we go forward.
Well, Simon's a very easy person to look down to. I'll just say you get direct answers to straight questions, so I'm quite happy with the Simon's appointment.
Can I, Chairman, just mention that the calling process? It's not necessary for this committee to recommend a corporate scrutiny that affects the calling process. There is a separate calling process that requires three members, two of which have got to come from the corporate scrutiny committee, and we've got two members of the corporate scrutiny committee here. So it's not there's a separate process. It doesn't have to actually be approved through this committee. It's something that corporate scrutiny committee has sole responsibility for, but three members are required to stimulate that calling, supported by the chairman of the corporate scrutiny committee. Two members signing that calling have to be members of corporate scrutiny, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a recommendation from this committee.
Brian, did you put your hand up?
No, I just put my thumb back. Right. The chair of scrutiny.
I'm happy to support the first.
Okay. Well, I think some very good points have been made very robustly and some good explanations have been given. Thank you, John. Thank you, Simon. We'll now.
How did you wish, Chairman? You've had a motion proposed and seconded. Did they want to reflect on that?
Do you want to reflect on that or do you want to go ahead with the motion?
So, what's the scrutiny officer's advice on?
There's a separate calling process for scrutiny. It doesn't have to be triggered by this particular policy and scrutiny committee.
I would like to, I mean, that was my exact wording on my proposal, sorry.
You were proposing that you'd recommend to the corporate scrutiny committee that they institute a calling specifically for this item.
At this committee, I will withdraw it, but I would like to actually note, right, that it is noted that you know, there are deep concerns, right, about the process. So I accept John's point about looking forward, but I do feel that process and due diligence should have actually put forward. It's actually quite nice to get the comment that you're saying, but I am, as a member of this committee, being expected to take a view without that information, right? And I think that there has to be a criticism of that report not providing the kind of information that should have been in that report that wouldn't have raised the questions that I have raised. It might be a very proposal, but it was a very inadequate report.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Right, we'll move on to item